Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
3, 2, 1. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. Join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With our exclusive offer, go to manscaped.com and use the promo code BIZ, B-I-Z, for 20% off and free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. If you really want to make 2023 the year to remember, make sure to try out Manscaped's wet goods as well. This includes the ultra premium body wash, 2-in-1 shampoo, and body deodorant. These products are absolute perfect for follow-up after your New Year's gym sessions. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BIZ at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the promo code BIZ, B-I-Z. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. Welcome in our new sponsor, Middle Kingdom Wrestling. Were you excited to see some Chinese pro wrestling when AEW announced that they would be featuring Chinese wrestlers on their program? You can now watch Chinese pro wrestling right now by checking out Middle Kingdom Wrestling, aka MKW. MKW is the top pro wrestling organization in China today. They are a unique pro wrestling company with Chinese characteristics. MKW has showcased, developed, and promoted wrestling in other countries such as Nepal, Vietnam, Thailand, South Korea, and more, with particular focus on countries that are part of China's One Belt, One Road initiative. MKW's live broadcasts in Japan consistently attract millions of fans, even often reaching 10 million concurrent viewers. Besides checking out MKW on YouTube and subscribing to MKW, you can also purchase the first ever international wrestling merchandise from Middle Kingdom Wrestling on ProWrestlingTees.com. It says in Chinese, "Don't lay flat, get up and wrestle." This is a great, great art piece on the shirt. It's funny, it's positive. Best of all, it promotes wrestling and the Chinese culture. So take the call to action from MKW. Don't lay flat, get up and wrestle. Middle Kingdom Wrestling. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Title Match Wrestling and Title Match Network. Go to TitleMatchNetwork.com to save 20% off all memberships with the coupon code SAVE20NOW. That's SAVE20NOW, SAVE20NOW. Members get access to every pay-per-view of the year, plus all VOD titles on site. It is one of the biggest collections of women's wrestling content on the planet, featuring hundreds of exclusive live streams every year, a near endless amount of pay-per-views, shoot interviews, documentaries, and more. Multiple 24/7 channels with zero commercials. Massive amount of original programming here, plus upcoming IPPVs for this month only. Available on Title Match, Thunder Rosa's Mission Pro Wrestling, Circle 6 Live in Las Vegas, Battle Pro in Brooklyn, all new this month, plus the latest installment of the hit series with Greg the Hammer Valentine. The Title Match Network is the perfect gift for the wrestling fan. Test out their content for free on YouTube. Just go to Title Match Network and you'll see that they have over 2 million subscribers. And of course, they're one of the largest independent wrestling channels in the world. Get exclusive access. Sign up today at TitleMatchNetwork.com. That is TitleMatchNetwork.com and use that coupon code SAVE20 now.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
To the business of the business. I am your co-host, JP John Paz from the Two Man Power Trip. Of course, joining me, Mr. Trump Mania himself, Mr. Wizard, Lavi Margolin. Lavi, how are you doing today, sir?
Hey, John. Thankfully, I'm doing fine, but I do want to start us off at the top of the hour, as they say, and dedicate this episode to Jay Briscoe, not only because of his tragic passing, and as we're recording this, the difficulties being experienced by his daughters, who had surgery, each are having surgery following the accident, and all of that. But also, in reflecting on it, really, the Briscoe brothers, Jay and Mark, have really laid the foundation for a lot of what we're talking about today. When I think about Ring of Honor, you know, they were the staple there, and that's what really hooked me back in wrestling. And they were always, you know, as they matured a little bit, always at the top of the card or near top of the card, you always had that solid foundation. And then when they migrated to other federations, whether it was GCW, a little bit of an invasion there, other promotions, it was always business. And even, what was it, just a few weeks ago, where they headlined a Ring of Honor pay-per-view under Tony Khan's ownership that did good business.
Yeah, them and FTR for sure. Yeah, what a horrible, shockingly just terrible news story there with Jay Briscoe. Rest in peace, Jay, and really hopefully his kids are okay. I mean, just what a horrible, horrible story that turned out to be. One of the best. I love Briscoe's. When I was kind of dying off and not being a fan of the business anymore, because WWF really was, I mean, once WWE was over, then WWF really after 01 kind of struggled. 02, you know, they were bringing in some names and kind of getting good. And kind of towards the end of 02, I was kind of getting disinterested in it. But then Ring of Honor came about. Obviously, Jay Briscoe was in the first ever ROH match. And the Briscoe boys, them boys, really kind of helped me get back into wrestling. And for basically 03 to 09, it was such a huge Ring of Honor fan because of guys like the Briscoes, first and foremost, and then Danielson, Nigel McGuinness, and Samoa Joe. So really, Briscoe brothers helped me a lot, you know, in the wrestling business. And not that long ago, I was just checking my messages and stuff because I always want to see, like, did I ever talk to that guy? Was I friend with that guy? Did I interview that guy? And I was just checking old messages with Jay Briscoe. Man, what a nice guy. You couldn't be any more nice, any more friendly. Just talking about, you know, how he was going to come on and do an interview with me. But, man, what a sweetheart of a guy. And obviously, all accounts, I'm seeing videos and stuff. What a great dad and what a great father and family man he was as well.
Yes, and just one final word that, you know, sometimes in our fandom and even among a person's family, you know the impact, but I'd never heard of this before for anything that the school district, from what I understand now, Jay's wife is a teacher there. Of course, his children are in that school district. They actually closed for the day because of that tragedy. So just imagine the impact that he and his family has on that community. I've never heard of that happening for anyone before. I'm sure it has, but it just, that really impacted me.
Yeah, definitely. When I saw you post that, so I was like, wow, that's amazing. I never heard of that before. Pretty pretty amazing stuff there. But of course, this episode will be dedicated to the life and memory of Jay Briscoe. What a man. And obviously, like we were talking about before, because we both love Ring of Honor, what a damn great wrestler and competitor as well. So, Lavi, let's talk a little bit here as we move forward. I know we're available on LinkedIn now. I know you you hooked that one up.
Yes, so we're growing on LinkedIn. Check out LinkedIn groups, The Business of the Business, Pro Wrestling Industry, in parentheses. We already have some international executives representing offhand AEW, AAA, our friends from China, our friends from Brooklyn. So it's quite an eclectic group there already. At the moment, we're certainly sharing the podcast. That's the first, we're one of the first places I put the New Japan quarterly report or earnings report and shared it with that group. So sometimes you'll get breaking news. And as we grow, I think it'll be a great place to network. So if you're not in the industry now, or you aspire to be, come on and join. I think we even had one person that said, I'm not in the industry, I'm not planning to be in the industry, but love your podcast. So they joined as well, and they're going to be an observer. So everyone is welcome. We just have to remember that it's a professional group. So, you know, if you see somebody that you like watching on TV, it's not the place to tag them and request an autograph. Of course, our audience knows that, but we hope that it'll be a good business resource for everybody.
All right, moving on to the news of the week, and it is the big news of the week. What is going on with MLW? I see that they have signed and made a deal with Reels.
Yeah, so this one caught me by surprise. Somebody DM'd me this morning. I'm assuming that I'm just guessing here. That was probably sent out late last night as we record this as like an embargo for the news or sometime before early Friday morning on the 20th. And then, you know, the news hit on all the websites. Reels. So MLW, as we talked about on the show, their profile had diminished so much, along with being sports, losing market penetration and just so much competition in the market, so many options. But look at this comeback. And I'm thinking about, and not necessarily meaning to compare the two directly, but I'm just thinking about Paul Heyman on Barely Legal, and we saw it in the Beyond the Mat documentary that was produced. This is the dance. This is MLW's chance. 51st ranked station in the U.S. That includes over-the-air, cable, digital networks, and so on. This station, Reels, has grown 107% in the last year. They have 252,000 viewers. Just as a comparison, they have less penetration or thereabouts as Access TV. Access TV had been in 50 million homes. It might be a little bit less now. Reels is in 40 million. Reels averages in prime time, like I said, 250,000. Access TV averages 40,000. So Access is about 17% of Reels. So just the magnitude of a deal like this. Reels has grown because they have the basically they have police shows that Live PD. I've never seen it. I've seen a few clips on it. It's sort of similar to On Patrol Live. It seems like there's been a lawsuit between that. But a lot of stations went away from police shows during the Black Lives Matter movement. And there was the, I wouldn't say, it was meant as a counter where you say Blue Lives Matter, you know, and not to delve too much into the politics of that. But in terms of television and the media landscape, a lot of networks were looking to divest themselves. Even Fox did of the Cops show. People were even calling for Paw Patrol, you know, to be canceled. You know, Reels took the gamble, and they've dived deeper into police shows. They have this Live PD. They show the Cop reruns. They have the Jail reruns. They're all about that. What seems that might have piqued their interest about pro wrestling, maybe in a little bit of a low-rent way, was they did autopsy specials about Andre the Giant and Eddie Guerrero. Unfortunately, you know, you have a long list of that sort of content that could be produced, but apparently those did really well in the ratings, and maybe they started seeking out pro wrestling, or pro wrestling came to them. So here, MLW, you know, they raised their profile greatly. It's a pretty quick turnaround in terms of an announcement to a premiere, which is a little bit concerning for me. Like, you need a little bit of time to hype things up. We learned about WOW, what was it, like 9 months before it premiered?
Yeah.
A little bit different in syndicated TV. But Tuesday, February 7th, Titan versus Titan, Hammerstone versus Nduku. I'm probably messing that up, John. In a Last Man Standing World Championship match, who I think has already left the promotion, right? Or
yeah, he's gone. Yep.
Okay, so and then they just came out with action figures, and I think one, at least one of those is gone. You know, that's just the nature
Killer
of things.
Frost. Yeah. Yep.
And then they'll have a replay. So it'll be 2 hour blocks, and then they'll replay the MLW Battle Riot 4, which was sort of something that they promoted for pro wrestling TV. Also, that it would premiere there, which it did. So I'm just talking a little bit more about Reels is that from Variety, they listed, you know, every Nielsen measured national outlet. And there's Reels Channel, which saw its primetime numbers bounce 107% thanks to Little C Network's coup in picking up On Patrol Live, a new version of Live PD from host Dan Abrams and producers Big Fish. In a lawsuit, A&E argued that On Patrol Live copied nearly every aspect of Live PD's format and sued for copyright infringement. And the biggest game in 2022 was Reels Channel, granted from a low base, as it says in Variety, thanks to the addition of Live PD. And Reels is available, like I mentioned, about 40 million homes. Couple of points about this to ponder. One is, in terms of Reels seeking pro wrestling content, we know Tony Khan said, I chose not to go outside of the Discovery, you know, TBS or Turner family to seek a TV deal. Reels Channel, I have no idea about the deal of MLW, and these things can be structured in so many different ways. So financially, we don't know yet if it's huge. But in terms of exposure and the type of network they'd probably want to be on for something like Ring of Honor, like a non-1 or 1A type of product, like a not WWE or AEW, although Khan had said at some point there was aspirations to make Ring of Honor equivalent to AEW. I don't think that's realistic at this point. But look, you know, it didn't seem like there was anywhere else in the landscape. Maybe Access TV would have picked it up, and so on, the usual players. But here, this is a pretty big break. Also, Impact had talked about wanting to, besides being all owned by the parent company of Access TV as well, that Scott D'Amore was open to other forms of distribution. So they didn't land this deal. So it's a pretty big deal. So that's one thing. The second thing is, like, what is the appetite for pro wrestling? I think that's not of, like, the highest tier necessarily. So we've seen that attrition in New Japan and Impact ratings, although New Japan, which we'll talk about a little later, they can nearly double the ratings sometimes if there's the right marquee matchup. But in general, right, they're doing 40 to 80,000 viewers a week on Access TV. So what can an MLW do on Reels? Now it's a higher rated network, like we talked about, by multiples. How many people that watch Live PD, Cops, and all that sort of stuff are pro wrestling fans? I think a fair number, actually. But it's still a lower profile brand. It had been growing, but This is a station that averages in primetime 250,000. So let's say they do access, like what Access does on a good week for Impact, on a great week for Impact, 125,000. So that's still half the station's average. So I don't know how this ultimately makes sense, but I'm very curious.
I don't think Reels is available on Xfinity Comcast, which is my network. I don't think. Right? I think it's I think it's available on Fios. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to do some deep diving into that, but I'm not sure if Reels is available or not.
I think it's on mine because I guess, unless they move the tier or something like that. So it's on Optimum here in my part of New York. But Reels available. They say DirecTV, Dish, Fios, AT&T Uverse, Xfinity, Spectrum, Optimum, MediaCom, Philo, Freecast, DirecTV, Dish, Sling, and others. I'd imagine, like, the way that it's growing, that it'll, you know, stations rarely expand these days, but I think it'll be on more networks, more cable systems eventually. But 40 million homes, right, out of, I know the addressable market had been down from 100 million, maybe it's like, what is it, 85 million now? So that's less than half the homes, but that's even more impressive, right? You can do 250,000 viewers and you're in less than half of cable homes. You can't always double it, right, to say that if they were better distributed, it'd be 500,000, but it's a pretty impressive number.
So what is going on with GCW, our favorites, GCW?
Yeah, so just a little bit about them this week on a couple of points. One, and this ties into a lot of our friends. So GCW tweeted out, effective immediately, all of Hijo del Vikingo's matches on GCW will stream live on Fight TV. The Observer had that Kevin Kleinrock and Master Public convinced AAA to change his policy and all appearances booked through the Lucha Libre agency can stream. But it has to be a pay-per-view offering and not a free streaming show. Now I'm going to get into what might contradict that in a second. Some promoters wouldn't book Vikingo with the idea that he would cost a lot, but they can't stream his matches. All promoters he'd worked for thus far are now allowed to stream his matches live and VOD, right? So Meltzer had it as it has to be on pay-per-view. Now, as far as I know, with Pro Wrestling TV, there's no paywall, right? It just streams. Mm-hmm. So Warrior Wrestling also tweeted out Saturday, Vikingo's match against Flamita and Rey Horace will stream live on Pro Wrestling TV. So I guess the difference is that, no, actually, I mean, this is Warrior Wrestling. It's not AAA. So that contradicts that already. So still a little bit of a confusion abounds. Actually, Kevin and I have been in correspondence for a return. So we'll have him back on the show hopefully soon and sort this all out.
We're going to need him back ASAP. Very, very confusing. But I guess if you're ordering GCW and want to see Vikingo, you will be able to see him.
Yes. And just one more point about the GCW side of the house. So just looking as we're recording here today, there's a triple shot weekend in the South. The Cabarrus Arena, a smaller room, you know, in the bigger venue that we're familiar with from Ring of Honor, although GCW has ran there now a few times. The third row is still available, Huntsville, so a little ground support from Conrad and tweeting about it. But third row is still available. And then Florence, South Carolina, working with New South, third row is still available. So I don't know how often they do triple shots. I was going to say the weakest triple shot in a while, maybe in terms of attendance, but maybe a little bit too much in terms of being able to spotlight everything and conduct, you know, everything that needs to be done for three shows in a row, but an experiment.
What is going on with the NWA? Because I saw Billy Corgan had an interview and he kind of, to me, I don't know, he said something a little bit surprising, but what's the latest on the NWA?
Yes. So firstly, speaking to Steve Fall of Wrestling News, Corgan explained the decision to move off Fight, which we addressed in the last couple of weeks. It's just the dynamics of the world we live in. You see it with the over-the-top networks. They're offering a lot of free stuff to drive whatever they're trying to drive. And we're in that position where if we're behind a paywall, it's a lot of great programming and people aren't necessarily seeing it, or if they're seeing us delayed or with spoilers, and I know NWA fans go out of their way to not see spoilers. Going back to Tuesday and Saturday format, where everyone is watching at the same time, trying to leverage social media, it's part of the economics. It's a different type of economics than served being in a financial relationship with Fight. When asked if he's spoken to other streaming services, he said, I've probably talked to six or seven. The NWA as a property, and here's the line that everyone keyed in on, has increased probably 500% over the last year. That's both surviving the pandemic, the length and turn I've held the company, the growth of the company internally and publicly, and that's where interest is up. We're in a very good position to have these conversations. The deals that are out there, whether we take those deals, that becomes the million-dollar question. I'm at least in a position to have people take us seriously, and that feels good. I've said it 50 times. As much as I would love the internet crowd to love everything, the reason I took this company over is it has a mainstream appeal. I was in a similar position in music where I was well aware of what the indie crowd wanted. And at some point, I either play to that audience and go for a mainstream thing. I took the slings and arrows that went with crossing over to be a mainstream band. And here I am 35 years later. I want the NWA to be a mainstream product again. I hate using the word product, but it's a product. And that's what I go into these board meetings to try and sell. My position in the world, the ability for the NWA to be presented as a modern product has a little bit more width to it than the traditional wrestling product with most people who don't watch wrestling associate with wrestling. That's where I see at the table. Now, Camille of NWA retweeted the Fightful thing about 500% and then said the comments on this are also hateful. People claim to be wrestling fans, but then hope to demise of an entire company that would leave many people without jobs or incomes. If you don't like something, that's fine. But understand this company is a platform for people to work. So I responded and I said, I hope this doesn't cause you more stress. But the reason people are mocking this, and I was part of that in a joking way, was that the 500% just doesn't make sense. John, the only thing I could think about was that maybe they're sort of counting impressions. And with Tyrus on Fox, as we often talk about, right, 1.5 million viewers a night. So if you were to add those all together and multiply that and count those all as an NWA impression as compared to only being on Fight or YouTube or something like that, maybe that's where you come up with 500%. I'm not sure.
That's what I was thinking, like, because that's, you know, that's not a small number to throw out there. Like you say, hey, we're 100% up. It's like, oh, wow, you know, they're doing it with like 500% growth. I mean, that's humongous.
Yeah, maybe it was, I would have to go back and listen to like the original interview. Maybe it was sort of like, I feel like we've grown 500%, or like, you know, the feedback that I have gotten directly on Twitter is 500% more, something like that. But 500% growth, it just, it doesn't make sense on its face, and that's why people are, you know, mocking it. And just a little bit more before moving on, Corgan was busy over the last couple of weeks. When he purchased the NWA 5 years ago, and this is from a local paper in Tampa because they're coming there soon, Corgan said it was akin to a band who no one takes seriously. Since then, he started streaming series, pay-per-views, signed people like Murdoch and Tyrus, and established himself as an on-screen character to bring mainstream attention to the promotion. Now he said the NWA is the equivalent of a band playing clubs and small theaters. We're building an audience, brick by brick around the country. The NWA can rise again to international prominence. It was like that old house on the market that everyone knew about but no one wanted. I came along and saw real value in it. 5 years later, we're producing 100 hours of television and 5 pay-per-views. The success in large part due to Mike McCord, also known as Austin Idol, for the NWA. And he portrays an on-screen manager for the promotion. Billy's a genius. He's extremely passionate. He's taken it from the ashes to something new that is getting a lot of attention. One change is that it's no longer an umbrella organization, but rather its own promotion, a similarity from his days as a wrestler. But Quartzhead is the physicality. You have to be tough to be in the NWA. They're not baking cupcakes out there. I'm told repeatedly that our style of wrestling is antiquated, Corgan said. Yet when I talk to fans, they recognize the style is why the NWA is growing again.
Nice. All right. So hopefully in the coming weeks, we'll find out an actual financial total. Just to see, just to clarify if they really are up that much, because I would be really interested to kind of see where they're at. But moving on, what is the latest on DAZN?
Yeah, so DAZN has been in our conversations for a number of reasons. One, it's proactivity in signing pro wrestling companies to international distribution deals. And secondly, my speculation that perhaps given its ownership that an interest in pro wrestling and interest in growing its service, of course, that maybe they'd want to put in a bid for WWE. But right now, they're in terms of their ledger, they're not in a great position, although they still have plenty of money on the private side. Losses, so this is from Bloomberg. Losses at DAZN, the sports streaming platform backed by billionaire Len Blavatnik, swelled 79% to $2.3 billion in 2021 as it poured money into top soccer rights. Rights costs at the London-based company soared to $1.9 billion in 2021 from $1.2 billion the year before, according to accounts. Chief Executive Officer Segev pointed to the massive investment to acquire Italian-German soccer rights. Of the losses, almost $935 million was from financing costs, and the company recorded an operating loss of $1.36 billion. Blavatnik agreed to a recapitalization of the company in 2021, which resulted in its net debt dropping to $14.3 million from $1.3 billion. That's a pretty big difference. Those costs outweigh revenues, which grew 79% to $1.56 billion in 2021 as DAZN signed up new subscribers in Europe, Middle East, and Africa. Revenues in 2022 rose to $2.3 billion. The company's information is closely held and it's only received.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Released its results for 2021 recently. Sega said that although plans for initial IPO are paused amid difficult capital markets, it could happen in the next 2 or 3 years. DAZN would welcome strategic investors. I really don't have any preference. I would just think that it actually makes sense for this to become a public company. Netflix story, Amazon story. I think DAZN is going there as well. The venture has lost more than $6 billion since the company launched in 2016, according to Bloomberg calculations based on UK company filings. In an effort to increase and diversify income, DAZN announced plans last year for a sports betting partnership with Pragmatic Group. Blavatnik, the owner, has a net worth of $37.9 billion, according to Bloomberg Billionaires Index. So that's just thinking about it, like in terms of comparison, I believe that Shahid Khan, Tony Khan's father, had a worth around 11 or 12 billion, right? So that's more than three times that.
Wow. So this guy is worth a ton. Jeez, $38 billion. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So that's why, like, when somebody's playing in this market and has lost a few billion, but it's still in it and has so much more, I'm sure he'll be investing in other things and holding on to it. Big things can happen.
Man, I guess losing a couple billion doesn't mean anything to this guy. Jesus.
Yeah, you have a lot more runway to play with.
So what is going on with LIV Golf and the CW? I know obviously that ties into wrestling because a lot of people were saying Saudi Arabia, the public investment firm, going private, getting TV deals. What's the latest on CW?
Yeah, and as we've speculated on the show, like for me, I think some form of pro wrestling, maybe now it's, you know, even more overexposed than talking about another TV deal at the top of the show. But at the moment, LIV Golf, which is owned by the Saudi Public Interest Group, signed a broadcast deal with the CW that would see its 14 league events shown on over the air in more than 220 markets. It will be a revenue sharing deal from reports with no rights fees being paid. There is speculation that they would pay to be on Fox or FS1 or FS2, but that was avoided. It's considered sort of like a breakthrough for the network. Their first, they called it live mainstream sports in the market. Heather, now they've canceled, the network has canceled everything but three of its scripted programs. I think they have somewhere about 14 hours of programming that they run a year. Run a week that they're responsible for. The rest goes to the network affiliates for local programming. They've also signed Heather Olander to run unscripted programming at the CW. Now, in speculating about this, our friend Gavin Bridge of Variety felt also that pro wrestling would be a good fit. And he speculated that something like an Impact, a WOW, or an ROH would be pulling at least 200,000 minimum in viewership on the CW in prime time, and feels that that's conservative. I ran a poll, and if the CW was interested in airing pro wrestling, which Peel thought would be a better fit, we had 87 votes. Impact received 80.5%. WOW, 19.5%. Not to delegitimize my own poll, but I think once something goes out about Impact, a lot of people vote for Impact. There's a lot of fans are in that way, which says something. For me, if I thought it was a fit and had that option of doing one or the other, I'd probably go for WOW just because of its uniqueness to the market. And also, we don't know what the CW will look like, but it just seems like a better fit for the CW to date.
Now, as far as the ratings and stuff, is that a normalcy with New Japan and Access as far as Impact equaling them, or that's something different, something
new? Yes, so the show from Japan, the big main event there from Wrestle Kingdom, averaged about 81,000 viewers for New Japan, which actually equaled Impact. So normally Impact does about that 80 to 90, and New Japan, which has been down 45, 50, somewhere around that. So that brought the number up. So it's sort of like they have some more Wrestle Kingdom content, which puts more of a profile on things. But I would think about it like as an aberration that New Japan is normally down. Although now that maybe bring people back to that hour or the network, maybe that'll help like bump it up a little bit.
Wow. It seems like as long as they can kind of keep the Wrestle Kingdom content on there, people will be interested in the show. Otherwise, not so much.
Yeah. I was joking on Twitter. I was like, as long as you have, what was Meltzer, like 7 stars for this. As you have a 7-star match every week, then you should be good.
I think it was 6.25 for Osprey and Omega.
Nice.
What else is going on with Impact Wrestling?
Yeah, so coming out of their weekend at Center Stage, there was a fair amount of buzz. They did a really good job, and I would attribute this to maybe Lou DeAngeli, Sign Guy Dudley's influence, as they did a really good job of, like, look what you missed, emphasizing the sellout, even though it was the Observer reported 550. And putting the info out there immediately to like be back next, that they're coming back in June for a Summer Sizzler tour. So from the photos to having the next show's tickets ready, to having clips of Mickie James's ring entrance, paying tribute to her Native American heritage, which actually reminded me when Thunder Rosa came out in Texas for a title defense or a title win at the time, paying her, respects to her Mexican heritage. So it's a cool thing to see. I'm not sure, you know, like if everyone does something similar. I mean, everyone comes from different backgrounds, so I think it would be interesting. But like the uniqueness of this being done recently, just a couple of times in this way, was really cool to see. And the show, on a relative scale, did much better than usual. From the Observer, for TV buys, it did 3,900, which was well over the double 1,600 for Bound for Glory.
When you look at Impact, are they doing better than last year? Are they keeping up, or are they doing worse?
I would say generally they're like consistent. What I often say is like they know who they are. So they tend to book the right venues for them, the right scale, taping multiple times, and then sort of maximize that content. But I think now we're seeing a better emphasis on the marketing. I think that will continue to grow, and that'll be interesting to see. Also, in terms of support, the owner of Anthem, Len Asper, was at Center Stage and was tweeting about it. So you see, like, which is an important thing, like that in that level of investment, emotional investment from the owner.
With them going back to Center Stage, I mean, obviously they were happy down there in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's a good venue for them. You know, like it has that like cachet, like people think about WCW. It's not very big. I don't imagine it's very expensive, but it doesn't look like a high school gym. You know, it has that right look to it. You could also like scale it a little bit depending how you're pointing the cameras. If you want, I don't know how many tickets they give away, except for seeing like on military websites where military families can get tickets from time to time, depending on the show. I think it's like the right choice of a venue for them at this time. When you book something that's several thousand seats, if you're not planning to scale it down, it could get really expensive, and there's really no point in it until you're ready.
What is going on with Championship Wrestling? It seems like they had a pretty big show, maybe under the radar kind of show.
Yeah, so they're really building their buzz, both in California now. You know, the thing that they've always had, which we've talked about, Dave Marquez and his team, they've always had the television exposure, right? Like before WOW and I would say in terms of station viewership under like Ring of Honor, but like for like a true independent company that, you know, they're on so many stations, most of the US market in some way or another, but they seemingly had never really done that well in terms of drawing fans. So in a smaller setup in a comedy club in the LA area, now they're like consistently drawing. I think they sell out many times. And then they had their roots in Championship Wrestling from Arizona, which I believe is dormant. So they're this like broad brand. Although I saw something about maybe a show in Louisville that will be like market specific. So we'll need more information on that. Sorry to diverge in so many areas, but they ran a show in Bell Bank Park in Mesa, Arizona, which is sort of like, it kind of makes it sound like a baseball stadium, but you know, I think there's different parts to it. And this was a smaller element of it, but they drew 970 paid with 1,000 fans there. So basically 1,000 and with risers, and it looked really good. They had a great looking lighting grid and sponsorship, Quack Quack Car Wash. They have their Car Shield and all of that support. So looked like a good win for them. They just seemed to like, when I watched the last show before the end of the year, it was like really engaging. The audience seemed more engaged. So it seemed like something going on here. So Manny Marquez and his team was finally like found the right formula to really like grow. They've grown a lot for television. The other elements in terms of pay-per-views and fight and live events previous to this, it just didn't feel like it was hitting. So curious to see if they now have the right formula.
Man, it's one of those things where it's like somebody, you know, NWA had Marquez, and I don't know, maybe somebody else, Impact or somebody, maybe you want to work with him. He really seems like he knows what he's doing. He obviously has got 20 years of experience, but I mean, he really seems like he knows what he's doing with Championship Wrestling with a you know, very slim budget that company has.
Yeah, I know he's worked with others in the past. Certainly, we've heard about the NWA and a little bit of the fallout. And somebody actually tweeted, like, imagine if, you know, if he remained in the NWA, although it'd be a question mark, because I don't know if Marquez had like the right formula at that point. It took a while to find it. And I think he had been, or certainly until recently producing some MLW content. But I think he also wants to do his own thing too. So hopefully it's the right mix.
Wrestling can be a weird thing, though, because sometimes they won't hire a guy that's so proficient at their job because they don't want to lose their job to that guy. It's a very weird business that, you know, you don't hear that too much other places. Like, maybe we won't hire the best guy for the position. We'll just hire a guy that's good enough. Like, wrestling can be so strange in that way.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Although I have no insider knowledge with the WWE, we've always heard that, right? Like, from the production side, that there's maybe tension from the top, like if somebody gets too good and then they move on, and that person might talk about like how stressful it was and so on. And there's been like, you know, so many good people that have passed through there, but like the senior management generally remains the same.
So just wanted to touch on this. I know we don't talk too much. We'll talk AEW. We won't talk too much about it, but just business-wise, I heard today it was out there making the rounds. I think Meltzer had reported originally. A few others had said it as well. But that CM Punk was going to be put on ice, quote-unquote, and that they would just pay him, but they wouldn't put him on TV. Basically, you know, icing him out, cooling him down, and then when his contract's up, his contract's up. Business-wise, is that the smartest way to go about it? I mean, is that what you would do with the Punker?
I think there's two different schools of thought, and I think the first one is the best strategy for the long term, without, of course, knowing the exact situation. So from the outsider, in terms of a perspective, you have somebody that came in, they did big business, they're making a lot of money, but then outwardly, firstly, to the press, they're sort of very disrespectful of senior management and performers at the company, really like trashing everyone. And then it led to a backstage incident. I'm not saying that he's the one that, you know, is most culpable in that, but it led to, you know, all this backstage turmoil in which people could get sued. There was the threats of that. He might do the suing, you know, and all that sort of thing. I don't know if anything came of that, but it was sort of control of the company was lost. And if Khan wants to be taken seriously, right, like he's still working on that, Khan in the WWE is called, what he called him this week, like a little kid or something, or I don't know the kid.
Yeah, he kept it. There was three or four times because I reread it. I'm like, so he's talking about Tony Khan. I'm like, oh shit, he is. So Nick Khan, I think it was three or four times in the interview, really put over Shad Khan, and then he kept going the kid, kept calling Tony kid. I mean, he's 40 years old, he's not a kid, but maybe to Nick Khan he is, because Nick Khan's in his 50s. But man, kind of came off a little disrespectful.
Yeah, so he, you know, as somebody that might end up being the owner of the WWE one day, right, he has to sort of build up his management style. And is a trade-off of, let's say, I mean, I think the ratings impact diminishes after a while. It's always that, like, return, a big angle, you know, post-pay-per-view, but then it kind of settles back. So would the ratings be 50,000 or 100,000 higher week to week if Punk was there? I'd say probably not, unless there was like a really hot angle running through it. If he was brought back now, yes, it would pop the rating meet, especially if they did it on Wednesday night. It could even be bigger. Like if you gave it time to simmer, the rumor mill to grow, you know, everyone being ready for it, like at 8 o'clock Eastern on a Wednesday night. That could be big business. Certainly pay-per-views and merchandise being a top seller and all that sort of stuff. So there's that loss in business. My idea, well, I had a couple ideas. One, with FTR, sort of like taking a step back and being friends with Punk, like to have them be like an invasion. Like, I think that would be big business. I thought also that maybe like an everyone wins scenario where, you know, he would, well, this was before MJF won the belt, but like the idea would be that he would come back, win the belt, and then lose it to MJF, something like that. And then, onto the following WrestleMania or whatever it might be, the timeline would be different because he's injured. So that would be, those would be like two business scenarios. But like, if you're running a company, like, I think you have to put your foot down. I mean, at a totally different level, right? Like, I wrestled Division III. No one look up my record. But, like, it was disappointing, like, sometimes, like, during practice, because the coaches would, like, sometimes wrestlers that were, like, better, they didn't show up, and they would still let them sometimes, like, you know, if there's three practices a week, like, they wouldn't show up for one or be late for a second, and then not perform at their best during the match. For me, if I was coaching, I wouldn't give, like, I'd be like, you know, you're gone or you're suspended. And I'd rather go to a meet with like three amateur wrestlers and build up a culture where it's like, if you want to do this, you're all in. And then like 3 years down the road, I think we'd be in a much better position rather than like trying to let everyone do what they want just to get, you know, a few dollars out of it.
Man, crazy what you think. Like, man, if Punk, you gotta put the guy on ice, they could make so much money. Punk versus MJF again, Punk versus Page, and of course the big mega dream match, Punk versus Kenny Omega, which would be huge.
Yeah, I think you'll probably bring him back, but it'll probably blow up again. So it's also that, I mean,
yeah, you're afraid of that might happen again. Yeah.
Yeah, look how many times the UFC has brought back what's his name? I keep wanting to say Roy Jones, but I don't mean that.
John Jones.
John Jones, thank you. And now, look, he's going to have a UFC heavyweight title fight, but, like, how have they learned from the situation?
Not at all. He is trouble, one of the best fighters ever, but obviously he is a lot of trouble. You're kind of waiting to see what happens with him next, for sure. Want to mention before we wrap it up, you can go to givesendgo.com/pewlove, P-U-G-H, love, L-O-V-E, and donate to the Pew family, which is obviously Jay Briscoe's family. The goal was 200,000. As of this recording, it's over 223,000. So really, I mean, awesome job by everybody. A lot of the wrestlers that have done it. So amazing there, but please go there and donate to the family. You know, they need it at this time. So wanted to mention that before we kind of wrapped up here. Lovey.
Yes. Thank you, John. It's really, really a difficult situation. It does sound like a lot. I mean, it is great that people have donated that much money already, but depending on somebody's situation, which I have no idea about, like, if somebody does, like when people get life insurance, right? Like if they're a parent and married, like each spouse might get like, let's say $500,000 in life insurance. And you would think like, oh, wow, you know, like whoever gets that is going to get a lot of money. But really it's intended to like cover, you know, a number of years in the situation of the unexpected. So here is this most likely one time opportunity to really contribute and help the family, not just now, but you know, what will the situation be like 2 years, 3 years, and so on down the road, especially with young children.
For sure. Definitely. Want to, of course, go to the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Go to Manscaped, manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping with the promo code BIZ. B-I-Z, that's manscaped.com. Use the promo code BIZ for 20% off and free shipping. Lavi, what do you got?
Yes, and I have to look into news some more, but I was reading that Manscaped will have a beard trimmer soon, which is really helpful because it could become a real mess if you miss a few weeks and then try and do it with like the back of an electric razor. So definitely check out all of their products and offerings, what's available now, and maybe some things are forthcoming. My DMs are open on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, LaveyMarg, LaveMarg. Help support our work. You're obviously listening. You love what we do. Advertise your business, sponsor, great rates available in 2023. Check out my long form articles, lioncubjobsearch.com. And again, on LinkedIn, check out the group, The Business of the Business Pro Wrestling Industry.
All right. Good stuff as always, Lavi. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you right back here next week for a little business of the business. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. Join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With our exclusive offer, go to manscaped.com and use the promo code BIZ, B-I-Z, for 20% off and free shipping. Let us have a toast for a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. If you really want to make 2023 the year to remember, make sure to try out Manscaped's Wet Goods as well. This includes the Ultra Premium Body Wash 2-in-1 Shampoo and Body Deodorant. These products are absolute perfect for follow-up after your New Year's gym sessions. Cheers to new balls in 2023. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BIZ at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the promo code BIZ, B-I-Z. Time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with Manscaped. Welcome in our new sponsor, Middle Kingdom Wrestling. Were you excited to see some Chinese pro wrestling when AEW announced that they would be featuring Chinese wrestlers on their program? You can now watch Chinese pro wrestling right now by checking out Middle Kingdom Wrestling, aka MKW. MKW is the top pro wrestling organization in China today. They are a unique pro wrestling company with Chinese characteristics. MKW has showcased, developed, and promoted wrestling in other countries such as Nepal, Vietnam, Thailand, South Korea, and more, with particular focus on countries that are part of China's One Belt, One Road initiative. MKW's live broadcasts in Japan consistently attract millions of fans, even often reaching 10 million concurrent viewers. Besides checking out MKW on YouTube and subscribing to MKW, you can also purchase the first ever international wrestling merchandise from Middle Kingdom Wrestling on ProWrestlingTees.com. It says, in Chinese, "Don't lay flat, get up and wrestle." This is a great, great art piece on the shirt. It's funny, it's positive. Best of all, it promotes wrestling and the Chinese culture. So take the call to action from MKW. Don't lay flat, get up and wrestle. Middle Kingdom Wrestling.